She's an espresso addict, okay? All right, so to answer your question, Matthew chapter 9. It's Matthew chapter 9. I was talking to, my son's father-in-law, who's a pastor, Lucas's grandfather, and we were just chit-chatting, and he said, there's very few missionaries that talk about the needs of the field. He says, you talk about it. And then he named a couple other missionaries that his church supports. He said, they talk about it. He says, but, you know, I never really hear any more missionaries talking about the great needs. And he says, when I was a kid, I heard sermons out of Matthew chapter 9 all the time, which is what we're going to do right now, okay? Matthew 9 from verse 35, you know, about the Lord calling workers into the harvest field. He says, you know, when I was a kid, I'd hear sermons on that all the time from missionaries. He says, but I haven't heard one in years. I've got to thinking, when I was on deputation, I refused to preach a sermon on Matthew 9. I never even had one. Why? Because everybody did it. And so I got to thinking, I'm going, I'll take up the challenge. And there it is. Okay, so we're going to be looking at it, okay? Matthew chapter 9, okay? From verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. God has called some of us, okay, his disciples into the harvest field. God has called some of his disciples into the harvest field. To whom is he talking? In there. To whom is he talking? To his disciples. So when he said, pray ye therefore that I would send forth laborers into the harvest field, from what group were these laborers to come from? Pray that God would call some of those. Well, maybe, no, he was talking to his disciples. There were none over there. Pray that some of those guys would go. But no, he was talking to his disciples. So he said, basically, pray that I'd send some of you. He was talking to his disciples. Okay? Pray that I was. Now, back then, he could just poke his finger in someone's face and say, go. But he doesn't do that nowadays. So we have this section, you know, that will help us to learn and to know. So my question is this. Can you prove to me without a doubt that God has not called you into the mission, into the harvest field? Can you prove to me that he has not called you into the harvest field? Let's say he has not called you into the mission field. Can you prove that he has not called you to be a missionary? Can you prove it? We're going to see three different actions, okay, from this section that each one of you should be doing at this moment, okay? To be able to say, without a doubt, nope, God hasn't called me into the harvest field. I'll tell you is the three points, the three actions, and then I'll expand upon them again. So we'll go over the three actions, okay, two times, okay, and that way it really gets rubbed in well, okay? So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for, you know, the clearness of your word. But Father, we know that there is a great need. Yeah. But where are these people going to come from? Yeah. So help all of us to take up the cross and go. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Amen. First point, first action. You should already be involved in the ministry. He was traveling from cities to villages. He was healing. He was going to big people groups, small people groups. He was healing and he was preaching. He was preaching here and he was preaching there in the synagogues and he's teaching at other places. See, he was involved in the ministry and the disciples were with him. They were involved in the ministry. Now, I teach my folks that there's six different actions, six different steps, and I don't like the word because I can never find the right word, but that everybody should be doing at the same time in order to grow spiritually. And one of those is to be involved in the ministry. Now, when we talk about ministry, what do we think of? Well, teach a Sunday school class. Preach. Sorry, you already got a preacher. Can't do that. Or whatever, you know? But what about everybody else? He says, you know, when we get to be involved in the ministry, that means everybody needs to be involved in something. Like, what, you might ask me? You know, back there in the AV booth, there's only so many chairs. Can't put everybody back there. So what do? You know? And so, but there is, okay? There is ministry that everybody can do. Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world, you know, make disciples in all the world. You baptize them. They become members of the church. You teach them. You have Ephesians chapter 4 that talks about, you know, growing together, so that the whole church together, every part of the church, can be involved in helping the rest of the church to grow, you know, and the church would grow spiritually, each person, numerically, because everybody's involved in somebody's life. If you would go through, and because what I did, I have this chart, like I said, I hang on the wall with six different steps, you know, there in Italy, and I have on there different aspects of the ministry a person can be involved in, and you realize it has nothing to do with sitting in the pew. This is a vital aspect of the ministry. And the word ecclesia means that, church, you know. This is obviously a vital aspect. But if you were going to be involved in the ministry, what are you going to do? And well, I go to church. Okay. That's it? Like, it's kind of like, okay. But what are you doing? You know? And then there are, if you were to go through the Bible, you'll find out there's many things that can be done, and there's examples, okay? There's commandments, examples, and in the Hebrews it says, go visit those that are in jail, okay? Persecution. But, you know, there's various things that can be done, but mostly you have to be involved in someone's life. That's it. Saved or unsaved. Saved and unsaved. You should be involved in the ministry. Secondly, the second action, you should see the need. You should see the need. Would you like to contribute to help that poor Russian girl that lives in, you know, in that little town outside Moscow that's having such difficulties? Would you like to help her? You'd ask, well, I don't know anything about her. Exactly. You see, we're not concerned about anybody if we don't know what's going on. So, we need to see the need. That's why I'm here, to help you see the need. But you can see the need, if you really wanted to, and look around. Here, there's at least three needs mentioned, okay? Three needs. The first is, the lost have need of a shepherd. They're wandering around without a shepherd. He says, who are they? No, they're lost. They need somebody. So we look around and we say, man, there's a lot of unsaved people around here. Bunches. We get so wrapped up in our routine that we don't raise up our eyes and look and say, wow, my neighbors, my people I work with, you know? And we just seem to not force ourselves to raise up. Secondly, there are too few laborers. There are too few laborers. You can't get enough. You can't get enough. We have to have more. There's too few. We can never have too many out in the harvest field. There's too few, okay? And third, there are many that are ready to be saved at this moment. He called them into the harvest field, not the plant, not the plow, not the water, the harvest, okay? So there's many around the world that are ready now. Just need to go. And third, the third action is you should pray. Pray that the God would send someone in the harvest field and possibly you. And possibly you. Because remember, he's talking to his disciples. And from whom? from where would these disciples come from? From that group that he's talking to. You know, the people sitting here. Otherwise, where do they, you know, we have this concept of, yeah, over there someplace someone should go. But no, why don't we just, you know, like Isaiah say, here am I. I'll go. I mean, where is the enthusiasm to jump in and go forth and serve the Lord someplace? Do something. I mean, where is it? Which is what I was saying before about the great needs. Where are those volunteers? You know? We talk about being called to the field. One of my pet peeves. Sorry. I just felt shivers. I've been called. Well, how do I know I've been called? Is there such a thing? He was talking to the disciples. You know, he says, look, there's a great need. So why didn't someone just jump in and say, okay, I'll go. You have the Macedonian call. Okay? The Macedonian call. So you have Paul, okay? I realize Paul's saved and everything. Okay, he's going out in the ministry. He had a particular call. Okay, but the people with him did not. Luke didn't. Timothy didn't. All those that are with him didn't. Paul, I'm sorry. That's Italian. Paul, yes, okay, he had this, but the others, no. But let's think about the Macedonian call. You know, he was off. He knew what he was supposed to do, okay, the apostle to the Gentiles. And so he takes off. God never told him where to go. He had a job. So he goes over here. And there. And then finally a point comes, and he goes over here, and God said no. The Holy Spirit said no. Fine. So what did he do? Quit? Nope. He goes over here. And the Holy Spirit said nope. He goes, okay, fine. So what did he do? He went over here, and the Holy Spirit said no, or whatever. You know. Then what happened? Then we see that the pronouns, you know, changed in this section of the Bible, and Luke arrives. And Luke arrives, and all of a sudden, he received the Macedonian call. Well, maybe that Macedonian call was nothing more than the Apostle Paul saw a need. And God said, yep, that's the spot. I told you now. Where there's a great need, get going. And Paul went. Maybe that's the call. Okay? Maybe that's the call. And as you look and you're around, you see the great need. Maybe you just need to be like an Isaiah, saying, here, my Lord, I see the need. I'll go. Now let's go back to the proposition. Okay? The proposition. Can you prove to me without a doubt that you have not been called in the harvest field? The three actions. We're going to go through the three actions again, okay? Like I said, I repeat myself. And so, therefore, the three actions again. One, you should be obedient in doing what God has already told you to do. What does Matthew 28 say? It says that you should be involved in making disciples in all the world. Ephesians 4, it says you should be involved in the life of the other Christians to build each other up and also to build the church, you know, build the church, okay? If you're not already involved in someone's life, saved and unsaved, to be able to bring the unsaved to Christ and to help the saved to grow, if you're not involved in someone's life, someone's other people's lives doing that, what adjective can we use to describe you? Adjectives? Louder, please. Disobedient. Lazy. I would use adjectives that are much more negative than that, but lazy. Selfish. Thank you. Uncaring. Fearful. Okay, I'll waddle on there, but, you know, again, I like the really negative ones, okay? Rebellious. Okay. How about a God hater? You don't want him, okay? You want the world. You want yourself, okay? you know, selfishness and so on. There's a lot of, if you are not involved in some unsaved person's life, if you're not involved to bring them to Christ, if you're not involved already doing what God has already said, you are rebellious. Okay? You are disobedient. How in the world can you know what God wants you to do beyond that if you're not already doing what he wants you to do? You see, it's not written in there, Keith, go to Italy. Can't find it. I've read the Bible more than once. My name is not mentioned, especially how it's spelt, K-I-E-T-H, you know. It's not in there, okay? But how would a person know what to do? Well, the first step is do what you already know you're supposed to do. How many times with our kids, you know, they're disobedient. They're not doing what they're supposed to say. And they say, yeah, but what about first? We say, first you do what I tell you. Then we'll talk about the rest. Why should it be different with God and us? Why should he lay out the whole future? You know, if we're already disobedient and doing the first step, why should he lay out the rest? See, if you're not already involved, you're disobedient, you're rebellious, and there's no way in the world that you can know what God wants for you in your life. But you're not doing what he already told you. Secondly, the second action, you should be observing. You should be studying and learning and taking to heart the needs of the world. See, we should see the needs, okay? We should see the needs. We judge things according to the context in which we're in, or we live in, which is normal, okay? It's normal, all right? So you have someone like me to tell you what's normal someplace else. As I said in my slide presentation, the only Italian church that can preach the gospel in a town of 100,000. I didn't say fundamental church. I said church. I don't care what type, stripe, what they are. If they can preach the gospel, I would take them. But there are none. Mine's the only one. In a town of 100,000. Half hour from my house, not from my town, because I live on one side of the town. So, you know, you go through town, but a half hour from my house, in any direction, around 250,000 people. How many churches do you think there are there that can preach the gospel? I didn't say fundamental. How many churches do you think can preach the gospel in an area of 250,000 people? How many churches? No guess? Five. Five minus four. Mine. If I want to get to the next church that preaches the gospel, and I'm not talking about fundamental, I'm talking about the next church that preaches the gospel, I got to drive an hour. And part of it is on the freeway. All right? So, Thompson Road, 1 hour. 1 hour drive. Take a 1 hour drive in any direction, all the way around. How many churches? Liberal, neo, fundamental, can preach the gospel. How many? A bunch. We talk about the needs of the U.S., which is true. But if we lift up our eyes and look around, we're saying, man, the U.S. is like packed full. There's a great need around the world. And not just Italy. You know, in the country, Arabia Saudita, what does that sound? It's almost like English. What is it? Arabia Saudita. What is it? Saudi Arabia. And is that right? You're also silent. Help me with my English, please. Is that right? Saudi Arabia? Yeah, okay. In the country of Saudi Arabia, it is illegal to own a Bible. It's illegal. It's against the law to own a Bible. There are great needs around the world. You know, it is not all like this area. Now, it's not all like Indianapolis. There's a great need. Because when we see a need, then all of a sudden, you know, we have a desire to fulfill that need. Everybody knows that with commercials. If they want you to send money to Africa, they send you the one picture of someone starving, and a little kid starving. You know, they know that that's where it hits the emotions the most. They don't show you anything else. But anyway, we need to see the need. Okay, and there is a great need around the world for the gospel. And then we need to pray. But we need to pray not just, Lord, send someone, him, her, them. When you look at Matthew chapter 28, when you look at all the other portions of the scripture that talks about our living for the Lord, doing what's right, going out and evangelizing, teaching, show me any condition whatsoever in those. Condition of age, health, financial status, educational status. Show me a condition. The answer is, there ain't none. When he said to do these things, he was talking to old people. He was talking to infirmed people. He was talking to uneducated people. He was talking to young people. He was talking to working people. He was talking to unemployed people. He was talking to educated, uneducated, everybody. See, there was no conditions whatsoever. We should all be involved. And so, therefore, we should be willing to pray. We might not pray that God was in him, but pray and say, God, I'm on my way. If you don't want me to go, stop me. Where is that desire to work and to see folks saved, to see folks growing? Where is that enthusiasm to get involved in someone's life? I mean, people are people. I have the same problem in church. So get mine, you know. And so people are people, and I realize that. But, and so what I teach you, I teach them, and I'll probably preach the very same from when I go back to Italy. Because all the sermons, you know, because it's the same. Wherever you go, we have people that just flat out don't care. You know, it's been a discussion that my wife and I have been talking about. I mean, you know, sort of mentioned for various reasons in the last few months, you know. It's been said that 10% of the people in church do 90% of the work. You know, why? And there was just a great need around the world for missionaries. Can you prove to me that you have not been called into the harvest field? Can you prove to me that you have not been called to Italy? Say, no, I know I haven't been called there because. And what would you put? There is a great need. And God gave no conditions on who goes. You have been involved in the ministry of starting a fundamental church in Italy, Terni, Italy. You have put prayers, money, thousands of dollars into that ministry. Now, would someone be willing to pick up the torch and say, I'll carry on. Come over and continue the ministry that you have been involved in since the mid-80s? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. And we just pray that you would help us to look, to learn, but to volunteer. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Close by singing number 536 in your hymn books. I thank you for that message, challenge to all of our hearts. When the Lord speaks, he's speaking to every single one of us, believers, and maybe there's an unbeliever here. The Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I encourage you to not leave today without making that right. For the rest of us, I know my heart was challenged by, am I being faithful, first of all, where I am right now? And maybe there's something that the Lord is speaking to you about. I'll encourage you, as we sing the first two verses of My Life is Yours to Control, maybe instead of standing and singing, you would sit back down and take this time to pray. If you feel the Lord wants you to come and pray here at the front, feel free to do that as well. But as the Lord has stirred your heart, you make things right with the Lord and ask him to give you the grace to respond as he wants you to respond. Would you stand with me? We'll sing 536.
I'm
that's your heart's desire. So good to see everyone today. Brother Bloyd, it's so good to have you with us. Thank you for ministering the word to us. If you would like, I'll give you a chance to slip to the back, to the into the foyer, so you can have a chance to greet our people as they leave. Again, so good to have you. We'll be praying that your wife gets to feeling better soon. And speaking of prayer requests, some of you may have heard in this last week, but Roy Wilde was having some tests done this past week, and it's confirmed that he does have cancer. So be in prayer for Roy and Theta. They have some additional tests and meetings with the doctors this coming Tuesday, so you can pray for them. So we have a request from Doug and Darlene Combs. If you are able to give some time this week, they are moving out of their house, and they have to have everything ready before next Monday, so that they've got some odds and ends they need done as far as cleaning the house. And I don't think it's so much as packing and moving as it is helping clean up the house and get ready for that. But if you are able to do that, would you contact her? She made that request known unwillingly, not wanting to make a request, but just made it out of desperation. So she would, I know they would appreciate that help. Also, we are very thankful for Josh Hunter, who has just thrown himself into our ministry, especially in the music department and in security and other ways. But this is his last Sunday, so I know you would love to be able to get a chance to say goodbye to him. This Tuesday, if you have some time, at 4 p.m., they're going to start loading up a truck at a storage unit, and then they'll go over to get the rest of his stuff. But if you could spend some time helping him, late Tuesday afternoon and early evening, you can see Josh about where to meet. I've also got the address if you need it as well, but I know he would appreciate your encouragement and your prayers as he moves out to South Dakota. One final announcement, those of you who are wanting to be part of the men's ensemble, because Grace Place is closed, we'll just rehearse right up here next to the piano right after the service and give it a few minutes for some people to file out and people to get to the front. So we'll close by singing Praise God, From Whom All Blessings Flow, and then you'll be dismissed.
Praise God.